Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuning in to another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. And today is March the 28th, 2014. This month is almost over. It's springtime, but it just doesn't feel like it at all. It's raining at the moment. Like the song say, it's a rainy night in Georgia. Well, it's a rainy day in Georgia, and temperatures are very low. But on the line, I have my guest, Abigail Rich, who is calling in from Texas, and she's going through the same thing, so we're in the same boat, the weather and all. Now, Abigail is an actress, a model, a Playboy bunny, and an inspirational, motivational speaker. So let's, as I always say, let's keep our ears and our eyes open. If you want to call in, do so at 347-426-3751. See, I have to remember the number myself, Abigail. But how are you today?
I'm absolutely wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. Trying to get over this cold. I've been taking all my sore throat lozenges. It's itching, everything. Awful.
Lots of vitamin C. I know, I'm doing it too. So tired of the cold.
Okay, and I said that last month. I said, no cold, I'm doing good. Now I end up with the cold. I got my tissue. I have my tissue. I got my hand sanitizer, my sore throat lozenges. I got a bottle of water near me, so I'm trying.
You're doing good. You're doing real good. Oh. You'll be good in no time.
Oh, I hope so. Abigail, can you tell us who exactly you are?
Well, I'm just me. I'm actually just a simple Texas country girl.
Okay.
If you ask other people, I've had people call me a supermodel, a glamour model. I love modeling, but my career didn't start out this way by any manner of means. It's a godsend. I'm here to me. It's a blessing. So.
But you suck. But now, you're beautiful on the inside and you're beautiful on the outside. I mean, you are, and not just with the looks, but with spirituality-wise. I think that's what makes a person beautiful, your attitude. Because I have seen gorgeous women, but if your attitude is there, it just makes you look all ugly, and I don't feel that with you at all.
Well, and I thank you for that, because I don't think I'm pretty. I don't think I'm sexy or any of that stuff. You know, my agent keeps calling me a supermodel. It's been out in press a lot. I tell people, please don't say that. I'm just me. I go to work just like everybody else. You know, I work for a living. I just do something different. But I do believe in, I have an angel. I have never, ever, ever thought that I was pretty. Never. To this day, I don't. So for me to make it to a model was really something, because when I was in school, I wanted to be a paramedic. I wanted to learn how to help people and save lives, and that's where my career was going. That's what I did. And when I graduated high school, I already had my EMT license, emergency medical technician. And the day I turned 18, I went down and got a job on an ambulance. And
that's right.
That was my career. That was my choice. That's what I wanted to do. And I did that for a couple years. And then one day we had a very bad accident on the freeway. And
yes,
so we had to call. Huh?
Yes, I was reading about your accident. This happened in 2003.
Well, my accident did, yeah, but right before that, about a year before that, we had to call for an air ambulance. And I watched these flight paramedics land on the freeway in front of us, and they were just like angels from heaven. And they came down and they took our patient, and they whisked them away to the hospital. And I went, oh, my Lord, that's what I want to do. So I did. I went through all the additional training, got all my extra certifications, and I became certified as a critical care flight transport paramedic. My next phase.
Now, in 2003, you said you had another accident. Tell us about that.
Well, that was kind of the incident that changed my life and
okay.
my career. I mean, everything. Again, I don't think I'm pretty, but I do like my hair. So I would never wear my flight helmet, ever.
It is.
You ladies. You ladies know out there, you wear a helmet or something or put a hat on, this kind of messes your hair up.
It does.
Well, I have my, my hair.
Right.
It
the
does.
Rain, not all good, but the rain just, it just really gets my hair. And I have thick hair, so if it gets really wet and dried up, it looks poofy. It looks like a cat just came out the dryer.
I know. That's what I mean. Okay. So I'd never wear my helmet, but I'd put good use. I'd put it behind my defibrillator in the airship, hold it where I wanted. So I went into work one day, and there was three aircraft based at this base, and the chief pilot, he walked out. There was three crews in the day room. We're a pretty good group together. And he came out and said, Abigail, I need to see you. So they all started joshing me and going, oh, you're busted again. And I'm like, yeah, I guess so. The hospitals would always call and tell them she wasn't wearing her helmet. So I went in. I said, look, I know it's wrong. He goes, what's wrong? I said, wait, why'd you call me in? He goes, well, what are you talking about? I said, no, what are you talking about? He goes, we have a flight. I almost threw myself under the bus, but he goes, well, we have another flight medic on another route going out on maternity. We want you to fill in for her. You know, we service oil platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, okay, I can do that. So it was a completely different base. It was different aircraft, different crew and everything. So I got down there and checked in and did my little orientation. And we launched one day, had three flights, came back, no problem. The next day was off. And then the day after that, we got launched to an oil platform. And I was talking to the oil platform paramedics, trying to find out what was happening with my patient. And what we had was we had a 57-year-old man, which is very young. Okay, that is not old at all, but he had a heart attack.
Oh.
So I was getting his information and everything. And I looked up, and now remember, y'all, I'm in a different aircraft. I'm not used to it. And I am blonde. Okay, y'all, if anybody sees my picture, that's my natural hair color. Some little dents sometimes, but I started to see all these lights flashing on the dashboard of the helicopter. But I went right back to what I was doing and talking to the medics. And I looked over at my partner, the other flight paramedic, and he was pulling his strap tight and his shoulder belts tight. And I never wore my shoulder belts either for obvious reasons. Okay. All you ladies out there will understand that too. And I looked back at the pilot, and he turned around and looked at me. And he had this deer in the front of the headlights. You know how deer run out in front of y'all? And his eyes are just massive? Okay. That's the way he looked at me. He never said a word to me. But I realized, right, I realized something was seriously wrong. And then I looked right past his head, and there was this red light flashing. It said, Master Warning. And I knew this much, and when that light's on, life as you know it's about to end. We were 1,186 feet above the ground, and we dropped like a rock. We crashed. I don't remember crashing. I don't remember screaming. It was just like a blink of an eye. And the pilot looked back, and he said, Abigail, pull the pins, punch the door, get out. We're on fire. And I reached for the door, and I couldn't touch it. And I looked down, and I felt all this cold on my face. And mm-hmm. I looked down, and we wore these really ugly boots that had zippers on the side of them. They were gone. My boots were off. And I had on these little white baby socks, what I call them, because they're, you know, little ankle socks with a lace around them. They were red.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. My right ankle, I could see the bones coming through the skin, and I thought, oh, this is not good. But he kept yelling at me to pull the pins, and I looked down, and I couldn't. Now, when we crashed, we went into the forest. Tree branch. We went into the top of the trees, and a tree branch, about a 4-inch tree branch, came through the side of the aircraft, went into my tummy, just to the left of my belly button, a little left and low of my belly button, shattered my pelvis, and came out below my left kidney. I was like shish kebabs, and I couldn't move. I was having trouble breathing, and the other medic looked up at the pilot, and he goes, "Oh, God, what are we going to do?" And they both look at me, and they really made me feel good, okay? I knew I was in trouble. But Steve then came back, pilot came back, and he said, "Abigail, you're going to be in a little bit of pain." And I remember looking at him thinking, "Really? Do you think so? I mean, really?" And they started to kick this branch to break it because we couldn't get the door open the branch in there. So they had to break it. I felt the first three kicks. I felt them from my toes to the top of my hair. And it took 7 kicks, but I didn't feel any more after the third one. And they got me out, and we climbed into a tree. You know, we were in the top tree, and he just held on to me. And I remember looking at him, and I said, "Did y'all call for help? Do they know where we are?" And he said, "Don't worry about that." And I said, "You didn't, did you?" He said, "No, I didn't get a chance to." But we have an ELT on board when the aircraft drops, you know, the crash, it sets off this ping. He goes, "They'll find us." I guess I passed out. But some 7 hours, 42 minutes, and 10 seconds later, according to the NTSB report, they found us. I remember waking up, and because I heard a helicopter, and I looked up and I saw the USCG, and it was a Coast Guard helicopter, and they were dropping what I saw was a shopping basket. Now, y'all out there, I love to shop, by the way, so that's probably normal for me, I guess. But I was in shock.
Okay.
And I was single then. I'm still single, but I was single. And I remember this pararescue swimmer. He had the bluest eyes. He was so cute. Okay. And he came down, and he goes, "Miss, you need to come with me." And I went, "Well, where are we going, sweetheart?" And he goes, "You're going to come with me." And I said, "I'll go with you anywhere." I mean, this is so not me, y'all. I am so shy, and I don't chase boys. I don't do that. So I was really in shock. And I said, "Where are we going?" He goes, "Well, I'll take you in my aircraft. We'll get to the hospital." And I looked up, and I said, "In that? In a helicopter? Really? Sweetheart, I just did that, and it didn't work out so well. So if it's all the same to you, call me an ambulance on the ground and let them take me." And he said that the closest road is 82 miles from where our crash site was. I said, "That's fine. I'm a Texan. I'll hook it out." And he goes, "Not with that leg, you're not." I said, "Sweet, I'll drag myself out of here before I get in that." He kept talking to me. Now he's rubbing the left. He's grabbing my hair on the left side of my head and running his fingers through my hair, which was working. Okay. I mean, I'm sitting going, "See, I like this." And he said, "We've got, you know, 20 minutes till bingo," which is when they're on their fuel reserve. And I said, "Sweetheart, you might as well take the other two and just go on without me, because I'm not hitting back another helicopter." And with that, he goes, "I'm only going to ask you one more time." Well, remember, he was rubbing his fingers through my hair. Well, what he was getting was a good handful of hair. And he goes, "I'm not going to ask you again." And I said, "I don't care how many times you ask me. I'm not getting in that helicopter with you." With that, you know what he did?
What did he do?
He pulled me in by my hair.
Well, no, he didn't.
Oh, he did. Oh, my.
I'll make sure he gets you in that helicopter.
I know. I don't remember anything after that. I remember waking up a few minutes later, and I was looking up, and I saw these ceiling tiles and these bright lights going by. And I thought, what a filthy ceiling. Now, y'all, next time you walk through a building, look up at the ceiling. You can see how well they do the house cleaning. And I heard somebody going, Abigail, you did it. You did it. And it was one of my foster sisters. I was raised by foster families. And I'm like, oh, God, what did I do now? And wait, how did I get here? Well, it wasn't a few minutes later. It was 6 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
They were taking me out of the intensive care unit, which I'd been unconscious for 6 weeks. They said I had less than 1% chance of surviving. I would never walk again. I'll never come out of the coma.
Oh, Lord.
And so I did. And they kept trying to get my foster family to sign off and pull me off the ventilator, you know, to let me go. And they just kept going, no, Abby's kind of really tough. She's, you know, she's a fighter. And I woke up. I didn't know that I'd had over 400 stitches, 200 staples. I had steel plates in my pelvis, in my jaw, in my ankles. I had fractured every lung, every rib on the right side, punctured a lung. My nose was ripped off my face almost. I was really messed up. They took me down to the step-down unit. I was in the hospital another 3 months. I walked out of there 3 months later on my own with crutches and stuff. I hobbled out, so like the way I put it. But I got out of there, and I was happy to be out of there. And I thought, what am I going to do now? I had about a year of physical therapy to get back because, remember, they said I would never walk even if I did come out of it. I do. To this day, I dance. I love to dance. And so we left there. I got out, did my physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister took me to a restaurant. Don't y'all laugh now, but a restaurant called Hooters.
Oh.
And she was telling me how beautiful I was looking. Now, to me, in my eyes,
you didn't see that.
Not realizing yet, exactly. And, of course, remember, I never have thought I was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had scars, and I was like Frankenstein's bride. All right, and you're going to take me there and tell me that. And I just got tired of hearing it from her, so I called the manager over. And I said, I need to ask. He came over, what's the problem? I said, I need to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
He said, okay. So I said, look, am I pretty enough to be a Hooters girl? Because I'm going to shut her up. And he looked, and y'all can do, well, if y'all look at my pictures, you can figure where he looked first. Or if you've ever been to Hooters, people don't go there for the chicken wings. Sorry, Hooters. Okay. But that's all me. And he looked at me, got a big grin on his face, and he goes, when can you start? And I looked at her and said, so shut up. And then I went, wait, what did you say? That was the beginning of my career change, right there. And I'd realized that I had an angel. I had somebody looking out for me. My injuries were critical. I had the doctors give me less than 1% chance of surviving. And I did, which is amazing. If you ever, or any of your listeners ever look in my photos, most of my photos, you will see I always wear the same necklace. To this day, right now in my hand, I'm holding it. Right, it's on my neck, but I hold it with my hand when I talk. I have my flight wings on, and over it I have a cross.
Yes.
I do believe I have an angel. I do believe that miracles do happen. I do believe that we can get through any minor obstacle that life throws at us. I mean, I've been there. I'm now, today, I've been on several movies, several TV shows. Still haven't found that right boy yet. Okay. But I'm an internationally published glamour model. I've been on covers, cover girls. I shoot for major clients because I have faith, because I know I can get through this. And if I can get through this, and y'all,
anybody.
I am not pretty. Okay.
Exactly.
Anybody
nobody out there. Now, speaking of Hooters, I tried to get in Hooters, but they didn't hire me. I didn't know if it had anything to do with my breast or whatnot, because I noticed when I went there, the women had thick thighs and the boobs was out there. I was like, okay, maybe I just didn't have a package. pretty face but not packaged. Like, no, she's not going to get here. So, but you know what? I was like, it didn't matter anyway, Abigail, because I promised my husband, I said, if one of them guys would even put their hands on me, I would have been fired that day anyhow. So that's fine.
I agree with you there. I agree with you so much. I only worked there, I think I worked there less than a month because I started, okay, first of all, boys, I'm sorry, y'all, but y'all got more lines than the phone company. I have heard them all. And every boy who has a camera is a professional photographer with connections.
And speaking of that, Abigail, speaking on the guys, all they get me with this, when they see a woman, they act like they haven't seen a woman in years. They will actually pause like someone paused a TV show. That's how they do. They'll pause and look. I'm like, seriously? I'm like, what? Women are different to me. No, we will see a fine man, but we will not pause. We'd be like, girl, did you see him? And we'll keep walking. Mm-hmm. The man at like
no
the
man.
Whole world is a star.
You're so right, but see, you're beautiful. You know, I mean, you're walking down the street and they stop and look at you. I know that feeling. And after a while, it is so old. You know,
it
I have boys come up, I own a Ferrari, I own this. I don't care what y'all own.
Exactly.
Be a gentleman.
Exactly. And, you know, I go on Facebook, I see the groups that most people are in, and some of them are associated with women who have big butts and all that. And that's fine. That gets a lot of comments. But I said, you put a classy woman up there with a suit on, how many comments will she get? Probably only 10. Because I got the
And that's
spirit.
Not right.
Exactly, because I got disputed one day of the week because I posted on my Facebook page. I said people need to be careful of what they post on their profile pics. And what I meant was lingerie. We're in lingerie. Unless you're actually doing professional modeling, that shouldn't be on your profile pic. Because years down the road, you need to think about, will I be able to get this job? Because now you have these employers going onto our websites, and they're looking at this stuff. People are actually losing their job because of what they're posting. So one young lady took it as an offense. She posted up there. I didn't even know we were friends. She posted up there, oh, you're jealous. And I'm looking like, excuse me? Like, first of all, I'm 31. You're about 24. I'm not going to argue on Facebook because that's unprofessional. But jealous, how did you get out of my text of be careful what you post in your profile pic because people are actually looking at that to getting jealous? I was like, see, that's a closed mind. But that's fine if that's what you choose. I just feel sorry
for you. But you're
right. Yeah, and they don't think about that, Abigail. They're not thinking about that. They're only thinking about right now.
Now, I don't have a personal Facebook page.
Okay.
My modeling agent has a fan page. Now, y'all, I am a glamour model.
Okay.
I model for a very well-known international lingerie company. So I'm a lingerie model.
So how you get into the modeling? Abigail, how you get into modeling? Oh, I was asking, how did you get into modeling?
Okay. Well, remember, y'all, I worked at Hooters.
Okay.
And I started getting these offers to work trade shows, to do promotional modeling. And I decided, okay, I could try it. But I was amazed. You look at me, I mean, I know where my scars are. And most of them are faded today. But I know where they are. I can go to a mirror and go, oh, there it is. Or the tree branch went in me. That scar will never go away. Okay? And I always pose so that people can't see it. And my photographers are wonderful with working with me on that. But I could, a very large cosmetic company, this boy came up to me at Hooters. He goes, look, I work for this international cosmetic company. We love using test sheets for you. And I looked at him and said, sweetheart, that's the best line I've heard today. He goes, no, really, I am. I said, all right, you're with the international this international cosmetic company, and I'm the Queen of England. He goes into his pocket and he brings out this business card with a Chicago address on it and the name of the cosmetic company, and he goes, well, Your Majesty, when you're ready, give me a call. I comped his beverage for him and laughed it off. 2 weeks later, my sis called him, and it was the cosmetic company. they flew me up there. We did some test shots, and they offered me a position as one of their cover girls, which I still do to this day.
Okay.
And y'all can figure out who it is if you go to the Facebook page. You'll see there's pictures of me by the cosmetic counter and stuff. But from there, I just started doing, I got offers from different companies. And then I started doing bikinis for this lingerie company. And they offered me, you know, to start doing lingerie. And then next thing I know, this year I got offered some wings. And my career has just taken off. And I do a lot. I like working for small companies. I do a lot of big companies, but I have small companies that go, I know we could never afford you, but how could we get somebody like you? I just came back from Florida, 3 months ago. A little small mom and pop store.
Mm-hmm.
I said, look, y'all find me up, put me in a hotel, buy me supper. I'll bring a photographer, and we'll do your catalog for you for free. And they were the sweetest folks. They were just adorable. They were like kids in a candy store when I got there. They were so sweet. So it's not about money, but that's how I became a model right there. And from there, I started getting offers to do TV shows, and I did 2 feature films. But I'm a model. I'm not an actress. I'm a model. That's who I am. You know, I try to help people still to this day, letting them know you can get through this. And I like what you just said about Facebook.
Yes.
You are a beautiful lady.
Thank you.
I look at your pictures too. But you are incredibly smart too, because that's exactly right. 2 years ago, off of Facebook, I ended up with some stalkers.
Mm-hmm.
They terrified me. I had to go file a police report because they started sending me emails and everything else. This is through Facebook, y'all. So please pay attention to this, okay? What you put on the internet is out there forever. It does not come back. You can't go, oh, I don't like that. Take it down, because it's not happening. I had to go file a police report, and the nice thing is where I'm at, it's a felony to cyber stalk someone or to cyber bully somebody. And they found out this was some wannabe fireman in New York State. That some little podunk, no place, I won't say where they're at, but they were nobodies. But the guy was like 400 pounds, and he wanted to cyber stalk me. We had a felony charge against him, and then my local police department contacted the attorney general up there, who also filed a complaint. So please, listen, be careful what you post.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's there, it's forever, and you are so right, sweetheart, because your boss will look back at that someday and go, wow, you really did. I heard about a school teacher. When she was, 19, she posed. I think it was in lingerie, too. But again, you know, I'm not justifying what I do, but I'm a model. But she was not. She did it for her boyfriend or something. Well, now she's a first-grade teacher, and the school found it. You know, it's... I guess some 10 years later, they fired her for it. So, you are so right.
And they will actually, people do not care, they will actually get rid of you. I have heard on Good Morning America, a lady was trying to get a news reporting, but she lost her job because they found out that she was stripping. And she was doing it just to pay off her college. But see, another newspaper company picked it up, just thought it was a good news story. They said they weren't trying to do it to attack her, which... find that kind of strange. And
me
she
too.
Lost her job. So she didn't have the job with the news company, but she became a professor. But see, that people don't think about that. I mean, I have done things in my past, but you have to think about that. And that's what I was saying, for her to take that offense. I was like, obviously, it was an issue with you. You must have something deep inside you to get off your chest to attack me the way that she did on Facebook. And I was like, that's so tacky. So, Tacky, please, people, if you're on Facebook, let's stop. This is the message I have for everybody. Let's stop bashing each other. We're too grown for that. I feel like this. Like mommy said, if you don't have nothing to say at all, don't respond. Don't respond to the post. It's simple as that. You don't have to make your comment. But
I agree. No, that's all right, sweetheart. I just want to say one thing. I was raised on this. If you don't have anything nice to say, Don't say anything at all. And if somebody offers advice, you say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, and you always keep that in your mind, because someday you're going to wish you followed that advice.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to come back. It comes back on you. It sure does. Now, Abigail, you mentioned that you was in foster care. What happened to your parents?
Well, I never knew who my daddy was, and my mama didn't want me.
Oh.
And my mama got real, heck, I'll just tell you, I'm real honest. My mama tossed me out a second-story window when I was 2 months old and didn't want me.
Oh, wow.
Yes, ma'am. She became how do you say this? She was a guest of the state,
mm-hmm.
if you can work through that one, okay?
Yeah.
And so I was raised by foster families from 2 months old all the way up. Them and my grandmama and granddaddy every now and then, but that was it. That's why. And, again, I never did know who my daddy was, so. But it didn't stop me.
I see, and that's what I'm talking about. You can't let nothing stop you. People choose to stick on to the things of the past, especially when they say, oh, my parents did this. Okay, but you're grown now. You got to know how to move on. You're not a child. Move on. We all have been through a struggle, devastating times, but you got to know how to move on. You can't get stuck, and people like to get stuck, and they like to play that blame game, and I think they do that too, Abigail, because they are afraid to step out. They're afraid to move forward, so they want to keep going on the path.
Now, and I agree with that. To all of your hundreds of thousands of listeners you have out there, I could be willing to bet every single one of them has had something bad happen in their life that they thought, this is it. I can't get through this. But y'all did, didn't you?
Yes, you
if
did.
If we don't have bad days, you can't have good days.
Exactly. Now, Abigail, you are a Playboy bunny. What is that like?
Glamorous. I love it. I've had offers to pose for Playboy, which I have declined so far in my career because I don't think I'm that pretty. So I'm, you know, my looks. I love being Playboy bunny. Is just so far in my career, it has just been the best thing there is. It's so glamorous and lovely and just absolutely wonderful.
And that's nice because most of the time when you think of Playboy Bunny, we automatically think of Mr. Hefner with all that. You're thinking of sleeping around, and it's nothing like that, is it? It's totally different.
Well, again, I'm a bunny, not a playmate. Playmates
exactly.
Are the centerfolds, and I don't do that. But I have concerns. But, again, like I was raised, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, right?
I do agree with you on that. Now, you also,
okay.
I also heard that you did a VS Angel shoot. What was that like?
Ooh, I love it. And I tried never to promote who I work with and stuff. You let the cat out of the bag, but I loved it. I love it. That's why I model lingerie. I love it. It's just, and y'all, if y'all think about it, my God, she's out there posing in her panties and bra. Okay. My bikinis show more than my lingerie do, okay? So it's not that I show things, but I love being a model. To me, it's a godsend. It reminds me of what you can do with your life if you just give it a little effort. And, I mean, look, I'm doing this. I'm an internationally published glamour model. And I could have been just sitting on my butt going, I can't do it. Look at me now. And it found that if you want to do something bad enough, you'll find a way to make it happen. If you
mm-hmm.
don't want to do it bad enough, you'll find an excuse. And I always tell people, I don't want to hear your excuses. Get off your butt. Take hold of your life. Grab that bull by the horns and make your life go where you want it to. Because you can do it. I know y'all can.
Exactly. And people, and like you said, you just have to push yourself. You got to motivate yourself. You got to. In the industry.
Look at you.
Exactly.
You're
I'm,
a wonderful
I'm,
radio host. Look at you.
I do not want to sit around and waitress for the rest of my life.
Absolutely.
interested at the time, but I got to keep going forward. And it's hard in my field to get into, which is communication media studies, and I want to go into news reporting. But I'm not going to sit there and give up. No, I'm going to keep continuing until somebody discovered technique today.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It will
yes.
happen for you. I promise you it will happen. You just have to want it bad enough. That's what it comes down to.
Now, in this industry, you are now being called a supermodel. How does that make you feel?
Mm-hmm. Embarrassed.
Oh, wow.
I am just a simple country girl. I am just me. I am someone who has been blessed, someone who figured out that I'm not going to let the minor problems that we have in this little thing we call life, or the haters, and they are out there everywhere, y'all. I'm not going to let them run my life. But I'm just a simple country girl. I'm just me.
Well, see, that's a good thing.
It makes me embarrassed.
Because, see, the city folks sometimes have a tendency, we are a little lazy. But, see, to me, country people, I don't think they always have all their necessities in my mind. So you learn about survival a little more than a city person who has most of everything given to them. So I think it's cool. Nothing wrong with being a country girl, Abigail. Shoot. On your cowboy boots.
Oh, I love my cowgirl boots. Oh, my God. I still dress up those pair of shorts and tank top. I'm good to go.
Yeah, I know that's right. But that's why we're waiting on the summer so we can exactly put that on. I know I'm waiting.
Oh, now, absolutely.
Now
I just found out recently. Huh?
Oh, no, go ahead.
I just found out recently there's a site out called Star Sightings or something like that, and they've got pictures of me. People take my picture walking through the airport and stuff, and I'm amazed. I'm like, really? Y'all could take my picture? Because most of the time I don't have makeup on or anything. I don't look that good. You know, somebody got a picture of me getting in my car by the shopping center where I shop, and just it amazes me. But I try to use that in a way of helping people,
to
tell people, don't let haters, don't let somebody say something bad about you. I have no prejudice. I don't care if you're yellow, green, black, white, purple. I don't care. I don't care if you're straight or gay or, forgive me, y'all, whatever all the rest of those things are. I don't care. I know that. If I grabbed your innards and my innards and threw them in the bucket together and said, okay, grab your parts, you couldn't do it because we are human beings.
Yes.
And we're all stuck on this rock together. And the best thing we can do is look at somebody and say, hey, y'all, have a wonderful day. God bless mm-hmm. you. Whatever you want, whatever you believe in, whatever God you believe in, whatever you believe in, you have to be nice to everybody else. Smile at somebody. If somebody cuts you off, well, guess what? Maybe that's a husband. You don't need to do road rage. Let them go. Maybe they have a loved one at the hospital that's passing. What if they're going to the hospital for a baby?
Exactly.
We need
they
to
got
stay
a reason
focused.
Going to pass you. They sure do. They got a reason. So don't stop them.
Because, okay, I've done it myself. I admit it. You know, I've cut somebody. I am blonde. I'm not thinking. I'm listening to my radio. I'm on my way to shoot. And I cut people off. And I'm so sorry. It's not intentional. I'm being stupid, you know. But it's no reason. People get shot over this stuff. People run into each other for that. Don't do that. Love each and every one of us. We are all the same. We are human beings. And we need to get through this life together and make it a wonderful world.
Yes, you are so right about that. People will actually kill you for this. They sure will.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Now, also, you have roles as an actress in several feature films and TV shows. What was that like?
I love being a model. Okay. my photo shoots sometimes can go 10, 15 hours, you know, because there's a big production to putting the stuff together. I was on a TV show called Leverage. I met actually a very cute boy there, but well, that didn't work out. And let's see, I was on a show for Discovery. I did a thing called Cheating Vegas. I was on Hangover Part 3. And I just finished one. It was. I was in one called Step It Up Part 5, but I think I've now heard they've renamed it. It's not out yet.
Okay.
I'm a model.
Wait a minute.
I have probably.
I probably got a dozen. Now, is Step It Up the dance movie? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
Step It Up is a dance movie, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Oh, that's my movie. I love hip hop dance. I do. I'd be in my house just trying to bust a move because I feel like that's a part of me. Like, I do. I love that type of stuff, the body movements and all that. Boy, that stuff just gets me every time. I love it. Stomp the yard. You got served up. But yes, I get excited when those type of movies come on. Yes.
Well, there's
a new one
coming out.
Oh, when is this one coming out?
I don't really know if, but if you go to like IMDb or if you like go to my webpage, Supermodel Abigail Rich, go to the links page. There's a thing that says IMDb. If you click on that, it'll show you all things I've done. And in there, it'll show you Step It Up, or and they're calling it something else now. You can click on that and get all the information on that film. And sometimes they put when they're going to release it.
Okay. Yes, because I would love to get that. Yes, I sure would. Yes, I want to see that. Yeah, she's speaking my language now. Abigail, now you just mentioned your website. Supermala, what is it? Supermala Abigail Rich?
Yes, ma'am.
How did you come up with that?
Oh, my God. Okay. All right, y'all. I am not conceited. I don't consider myself a supermodel. But my agents have pages for me. But I wanted to have one where I wanted to try to save people money. Now, I'm not cutting my agents out. I am not exclusive with anybody. But if a small business wanted me to model some clothes for them or their car or do promotional modeling, I wanted to be able to work with them. So I talked with my manager, and they said, well, let's put up our own site. So we were looking for abigailrich.com. But somebody had already grabbed it.
Okay.
And so I reached out to those folks, and it was one of those companies that grabs websites. And I said, hey, y'all, I'm Abigail Rich. And he said, oh, we know who you are. And I went, okay. Y'all have my name pulled aside and, like, you own it. What's up with that? And they said, well, they do that for celebrities, movie stars, supermodels, and all the rest of this. I said, okay, how do I get it from you? They said, oh, you just buy it from us. And I said, okay, that's fine. How much?
Okay.
They said, $8,000.
You crazy. Uh-uh.
Well, I thought they were on drugs.
Yeah.
I said, y'all, that's not right. That's my name. You can't do that. He said, well, if you don't like it, don't buy it.
Oh.
Yeah, they were rude. They were very rude. And so I looked at my manager, and I was so frustrated. I didn't know what to do. So she said, well, look, people know you as a supermodel. How about Supermodel Abigail Rich? So we did that one. It cost, I don't know, $100. And so now they can keep the rest of that other one, and they're $8,000. I hope it gets them somewhere. But
yeah, me too. That's amazing. And Asher can keep that. And that's like stealing. That's mine. It's my name. How do you get the rights to do that? Oh, that's That's just wrong.
And it is stealing. And that is wrong. But again, sometimes we just have to be like water on a duck's back and let it roll off and move on if you want it bad enough, you can make it happen. So we did.
Exactly. You go on and keep it. You said that right. You want it so bad, you go on ahead and keep it because it means so much to you.
That's
you just said that. Exactly.
I hope it's doing good for them.
Me too. So, Abigail, do you prefer modeling or acting better?
I prefer modeling. I love modeling. I love, to me, it's creating art. I work with the world's best photographers. I mean, they're like family to me.
Mm-hmm.
The folks at Model South Photography, they're now doing all my photos. They're just, I mean, they travel around the world with me. They're just, oh, they're so sweet. They're just wonderful folks.
Well,
I love
yes.
being a model.
Yeah, and you have to keep positive people around you. I don't care what you're doing. You need to keep positive people who are going to be on the same page with you. Now,
yes, ma'am, that is true.
I know you don't like supermodel, but what is a typical work day like for a supermodel?
Well, I'm out of bed by 5:30. I do my makeup, brush my hair and everything. I go to the gym and work out for 2 hours.
Okay.
Then I have a meeting. I have a breakfast meeting, if you call that. I don't eat much, y'all. But my breakfast is my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
There's one very well-known coffee shop. They're everywhere, by the way. And I sit there, and we go through the game plan. We know what we have to do today, what shoots we have, what radio shows we have talked to, what celebrity hosts like you we have the honor of talking with. And we get all that done, and then maybe I'll hit the gym again. If I have another photo shoot, I'll fit them in the afternoon. Then I go home, spend time with my ponies, work with my horses, and I go home, turn my music on, and do a little dancing.
I know that's the spirit. Yeah, like my coworker always say, have a bottle of wine in hand.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good.
Now, could one of our listeners hire you to model their products or services?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm telling y'all, if y'all save money. And again, if something inspires, I'll tell y'all a secret. I know if, when my agency is starting to roll over, okay? But if something inspires me enough, I will do it for almost nothing. Okay? But they can. If they go to supermodelabigailrich.com, there's a page there. It's I think it says contact us or something. They'd go right to my manager. And she will look it out, and she'll talk to me, and we'll call and talk. Or y'all can reach me on Facebook. Sorry, shouldn't say that. But if y'all like my page, then you hit that message button. It goes right to my email.
Okay.
But, yeah, absolutely. I go all over the world and do things for folks. You know, I just did something for a little car company and stuff. So, I bring the photographers and everything.
Let's see, that's good.
I love modeling.
Especially when you love it. They always say that. If it's something that you really love, you'll do it for free. Don't worry about the money.
Now, see, I always say that. My manager yells at me and my agent yells at me. They say, please quit telling people that. But I would.
Well,
I have. I just.
And no, I understand where your manager is coming from. Yes. Not that you're saying that you don't want to work just to have money. Because, yes, we all have bills to pay. But when you truly have that passion in your heart for something, when you really want that, like I want news reports, you wouldn't mind getting up at the clock of dawn just to do that. Right now, if Channel 2 told me to come on report this story, I wouldn't mind doing that because that's something, that's a passion. I'm eager. I could taste it. You could smell it. So I think people take it wrong. Oh, you don't want to get paid. No, it's not that. Don't mind getting my money. But I would do it regardless. So I do. I understand you, Abigail. Don't nobody understand you. I feel you.
Oh, yes. But I love what I do. When I see the end result, when my photographers go, what do you think of this? Because we recently did what they called a artistic. Now, I've never done nudes, y'all, but I've done artistic nudes or implied. Because there's some things I just don't show y'all. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm not that pretty. But we just did one with, like, and they called it, like, a Marilyn Monroe shoot with a very sheer sheet and stuff, and I was out in a dry lake bed, and I actually just saw one, and I was like, oh, my goodness, and I was terrified doing it. I'm like, oh, y'all, you can't, these can't be released. My photographer's like, well, just wait. let's see how they look. And they look so good. It made me feel so good. I mean, we created art. You know, it's just, I love what I do. I do. And as far as you, you and I need to talk, just so you know about that, about your career. I had a thought for you, but I'll tell you about that later.
Okay. Thank you, Abigail. I appreciate that. I sure do. Now, please let our listeners know what is the downside to being a supermodel, because we don't want them thinking that all the time it's just glamorous. We see what we see on TV, but we don't know what actually goes on behind the scenes.
A couple years, the bad part is, how do I put this? I'm a tomato. If y'all go to the produce department, I'm a tomato. Everybody wants to touch you. Everybody wants to judge you. Everybody thinks they know you. I used to shoot with 5 different photographers, and I even to this day, I've had some amateur photographers go, I'd love to shoot you, but how do I do that? And I will do it for them so they can increase their knowledge and education of how to work with models. But I had one in Manteca, California, 2 years ago, and I always have an escort with, always an armed escort, because this is dangerous work. And we were doing this shoot, and he was like, oh, your shirt doesn't fit right. Your shirt, and I'm sitting here going, well, what's wrong with it? I'm looking in the mirror. Well, he goes, let me show you. With that, he grabbed me. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, no.
And he's still out there. He's changed his name of his studio 4 or 5 times because he has now a record of doing this.
Yeah, and still grabbing on people. See, he's going to get the wrong woman. Going to be like, look, I told you keep your hands off me. Now I'm going to get ready to shank you. See, you can't put your hands on everybody.
I love it. Yes.
Put your hands on somebody. I thought we'd look at him crazy. Abigail, did you just touch me? What? You all know.
Oh,
look, what my coworker, I was thinking about my coworker because she's from New York, and this guy, he was just playing with her. He said, I'll beat you up. She said, oh, you might not know who you're talking to. She said, I'm about that life. You're going to get messed up if you put your hands on me.
Well, he found out right away how much I really didn't appreciate it. Because I had my leg jerked really hard, and I don't know, somehow I think I made contact with him, but we didn't finish the shoot. He wasn't feeling up to it. You know, I can go someplace. I love it when boys or anybody comes up and says, I love your work. You're beautiful. Come on. We all love to hear that, ladies. But,
yeah,
and it embarrassed me, and I blushed. But when the boys walk up and they sit down at a table you're sitting at with friends or somebody, and they start talking to you like they know you and telling you, well, I drive a Ferrari and all this. I'm not motivated by money, y'all. I'm not. I own my ranch. I own my ranch in another. I have another state where I own a ranch. My car's paid for. My horses are paid for. And I did this all myself by working really hard to get here. No boy ever helped me get here. I've never been married. I am single. And you ladies out there can do it too. You don't need a boy. You know, you don't need to sell yourself out. But that's the other bad part about being a model. You know, boys come up. I'd much rather for a boy come up. Hey, I'd love to go out with you and be nice and be a gentleman, because a gentleman will get you somewhere. But if you're trying to impress me and burning out your tires going around the corner, you're a loser. I'm sorry. It doesn't impress me at all.
Right? And we have to stop doing that. Stop letting these guys buy us, which reminds me of this one guy. My coworker was talking to the guy, and somehow it came out her mouth about money. And the guy was like, you don't approach a man asking about that. Because the first thing he's going to think of you, we're all grown, so I'm going to say it. He's going to think of you as a hoe, basically.
Absolutely.
Exactly. He's going to think of you as that. He's not going to want to marry you because you already indicated that. So, ladies, please, don't let them buy you talking about, oh, I got a BMW. Okay, that's fine. I got one, too. And if you don't, I'll still say, I got one, too. Because that's what their mentality is thinking. Oh, I got a car. And what? No, I'm not even yours. They be thinking they can buy you, and I can't stand that. Don't do that.
We let it happen.
You're right.
Right.
We do. We do. We let that happen. We let them play on us. And that part, oh, you so pretty. You the prettiest woman in the world. Really? The prettiest one in the world, so you went everywhere around the country. You done went to China, Europe, France. You been everywhere and just said, I'm the prettiest one of all these countries. If you don't go somewhere and sit down with, how old is that line? How old is that? That's the old line. Probably just so old. They really be giving me with that. You the prettiest one in the world. Really? You been everywhere. I'm so excited. I'm the prettiest one out of China, Europe, boy. I just be listening to them. I love it. You can keep going.
You're right. And the best thing we can tell a boy is no. Don't ever lead a boy on. Now, I get asked out every day, at least four times a day. My manager was walking with me one day. We're in Walmart. In 15 minutes, I had four offers to go out. And I get asked out by boys as young as 18. I hope they're 18. God, I hope they're 18. And I think the oldest was I had a gentleman who was 92 years old ask me out. I went, really? Oh, okay. I said, that's sweet. And I thank you, but no thank you.
Okay. I had one to do this way. I'm a waitress at the Marriott, and the guy was like, you're pretty. He was old enough to really just be my grandfather. I looked at him and said, oh, no, sir, this is God rest her soul, but I can't do no Anna Nicole. I'm sorry.
No, ma'am, absolutely not. No. And ladies, once you go there, there's no coming back. Don't sell yourself out, because boys are after one thing. Y'all know that. Boys, I'm sorry, you know it. Well, guess what? We're smart, and we know it, too.
We know it.
You know?
And sometimes that's all a woman actually wants from you. Women want the same thing sometimes like a man, and that's fine if that's all you want. But understand this. If that's not all you want, then you better wake up and understand, smell that coffee, and read the game, because men play the game really quick, and they do not care. And let's stop thinking, if he calls you at 3 o'clock in the morning, we all know what that means. He's not calling you to come have dinner. He just wants you for that night. And then they be looking all stupid. Well, what happened? I don't know. What time was it? It was 3 o'clock in the morning? Really? Was anybody up looking? No. Mm-mm. We have to stop being
right.
The side. Yeah, we got to stop being the side woman. We can't be the woman on Valentine's and then he forget about you every other day. No.
That's right. Ladies, we are no better and no worse than the boys.
Okay.
We are. Sorry, boys, I'm sorry. But I think we're smarter. But we can't let our hearts run our life. You use every part of your body. When you're walking down the road, you're using every muscle in your body, your arms, your eyes, you're looking, you're smelling for whatever. You know, you're listening to what's going around you. Do the same thing in love. Use all your senses. If he doesn't feel right, don't do it.
Exactly. He got to be on the same page with you. And as far as it goes, God, like I always tell people, every show I do, God always plays a part. Pray about it. God was sending you the man of your life. Pray for man. He was sending you the woman of your life.
Yes,
but,
I believe it.
Before you go, Abigail, I want to ask, how can someone really hire you directly, or do they have to go through your agent?
No. Y'all can go to, again, now there's a web page, LoneStarModeling.com. There's several modeling agencies out there that represent me. Or y'all can go right to www.supermodelabigailrich.com. That will go right to my manager. You can hire me direct. We can negotiate, and we will sell your product. And that's what this is about. You have to advertise, y'all. You know, you see a business without a sign. Well, that's a sign of a business with no business.
Yes.
So you got to advertise. And in today's world, it is very competitive. You know, the government said, oh, everything's great. It's not. Okay. But you got to let people know you're out there. But I'll work with anybody. I'll take care of y'all. I mean, I don't care where you are in the country. Anywhere in the world, actually. I've been all over the world. I've worked for companies in Israel, Paris, and London. I'll take care of y'all, I promise.
See, and that's what I like. Well, Abigail, I really appreciate you. I tell you, you are a woman who doesn't give up, and I hope people can take and implement that attitude into their lives, into their mindset. As Abigail said, hit her up on her website. Please get in contact with her. She's willing to work with you only if you're willing to work. We're not. It's not going to be Abigail do all the work and you sit there and watch. No. So please get in contact with her. And tomorrow coming up, we will have Jill Vanderwood. If you're afraid to speak in front of people, this is the woman who will give you those answers, and she is another Toastmasters. And we have talked about that. Unfortunately, one of my Toastmasters will get me for saying a lot of arms. So, yeah, I'm in trouble. But definitely tune in tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Thank you so much, Abigail. We appreciate you on this
I'm
show.
I'm honored.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I sure do. And we got to stay in touch.
Yes, ma'am. Please do.
I sure will, Abigail, and you have a blessed one.
You too, sweetheart.
Thank you. Well, all my listeners, I appreciate your love so much. I thank you so much for liking my Facebook fan page. So please keep liking it. Tell everybody. Go around the country and tell them too so we can pick them up as well. So thank you so much. And as I always say, God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.